Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. and p.m. on WCNO.
You're listening to WCNO, Palm City.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, sovereign over everything, Prince of Peace, mighty Counselor, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. My topic for today is, What Do You Want Me to Do for You? Part 2. My scripture comes from Mark 10, 46 through 52. My text is Mark 10, 51, which reads, And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou I do should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. What do you want me to do for you? It might seem that the need of Bartimaeus was obvious, yet Jesus had a deliberate purpose in the question. There was real power in both the asking and in the answer of Jesus. God may ask us the same question, and we should be able to give an answer that glorifies him. Rabboni, that I might receive my sight. The title Rabboni is a strengthened form of rabbi and means my Lord, my master. When Bartimaeus said this, he expressed his submission toward Jesus. The specific nature of Bartimaeus' request is a good example of our prayers. Have mercy on me, in general. But his prayer moved from the general to the specific request that I might receive my sight. Jesus already knew what he wanted, but he wanted the blind man to participate in this process. There could have been others in the crowd that needed to let Jesus know they needed to be healed. The particular favor he begged was that his eyes might be open, that so he might be able to work for his living and might be no longer burdensome to others. It is a very desirable thing to be in capacity of earning our own bread. And where God has given men their limbs and senses, it is a shame for men by their foolishness and slothfulness to make themselves, in effect, blind and lame. Go your way, your faith has made you whole. The faith of the blind man saved him because it was a specific kind of faith. It was faith that was determined to reach Jesus. He cried out all the more. It was faith that knew who Jesus was, Son of David. It was faith that came humbly to Jesus. Have mercy on me. It was faith that humbly submitted to Jesus. Rabboni. It was that faith that could tell Jesus what it wanted, that I might receive my sight. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus. Now healed and saved, blind Bartimaeus then followed Jesus. The way of Jesus became his way. This was especially significant when we consider where Jesus was going at this time, to Jerusalem, where a cross waited for him. First, Jesus told Bartimaeus, go your way. Then Bartimaeus followed Jesus. He made Jesus' way his own way and was a follower of him. Bartimaeus might have figured, now that I have my sight, I always want to look unto Jesus. Two things Mark here adds. One, how Christ made it a double favor to him by putting the honor of it upon his faith. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Faith in Christ as the Son of David, and in his pity and power, not thy persistent request, but thy faith, setting Christ on work, or rather Christ setting thy faith on work. Those supplies are most comfortable. They are fetched in by our faith. How he made it a double favor to himself. When he had received his sight, he followed Jesus by the way. By this he made it appear that he was thoroughly cured, that he no more needed one to lead him, but could go himself. And by this he evidenced the graceful sense he had of Christ's kindness to him, that when he had his sight, he made this use of it. It is not enough to come to Christ for spiritual healing, but when we are healed, we must continue to follow him, that he may do honor to him and receive instruction from him. Those that have spiritual eyesight see that beauty in Christ that will effectually draw them to run after him. Apply to the Son of David. Lose not a moment. He is passing by, and thou art passing into eternity, and probably will never have a more favorable opportunity than the present. This story lets us know that Jesus is a healer, but everyone is not healed the same or at the same rate. What does this story tell us? Jesus still asks the same question. What can I do for you? Or what do you want me to do for you? It does not matter how big the crowd. Jesus can still hear you. It does not matter if you are handicapped. Jesus can still hear you. If you need healing, ask Jesus. If you need wisdom, ask Jesus. If you need power, ask Jesus. If you need help, ask Jesus. If you need love, ask Jesus. If you need salvation, ask Jesus. Whatever you need, God can supply. Jesus is asking right now, what can I do for you? He is a friend. He is a brother. He is a father. He is a helper. He is a provider. When you are down and out, he will pick you up. Jesus was crucified on the cross. They nailed his hands and his feet to the cross. What great pain he felt as he died on the cross for your sins and my sins. However, after 3 days, he arose from the dead with all powers in his hands. God desires us to pray to him for what we want in Jesus' name, because he wants us to be saved and live an abundant life. After a summer rest, bird flu is back. Bird flu is spreading again as waterfowl migrate. In poultry, cases are spiking earlier than expected, and so some state officials are bracing for a challenging autumn. October 9, 2025, by Evan Bush, NBC. At least 70 people, mostly farm workers, with close contact to birds or cows, have been infected. One person died. Wild birds tend to spread the disease to poultry farms in a few ways. Scientists think through direct contact, by contaminating feed, or when workers bring contaminated materials into barns. That's why migration season can be such a catalyst. If you got one sick bird that moves over an area, infects some others. The math suggests it's going to spread really fast, said Michael Ward, a professor of natural resources and environmental sciences at the University of Illinois, who studies migration. Ward added that habitat limitations are pushing birds to congregate and share space, which makes viral spread more likely. In Illinois, wetlands habitat has shrunk as the state deals with drought. It is a perfect combination for disease to pop up, Ward said. In response to an inquiry about the rise in bird flu detections and how the federal government plans to deal with it, the U.S. Department of Agriculture pointed to a five-pronged strategy it released in February, which included $100 million for research into new biosecurity measures and vaccine development for poultry. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good day and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. Today's topic is Psalm 23. The book of Psalms is a great collection of songs and prayers that expresses the heart and soul of humanity. Psalm 23 specifically has been called the best known of the Psalms for its universal theme of trust in God. People can be unfair and friends may desert you, but we can trust God. Knowing God intimately drives away doubt, fear, and loneliness. Do you have a difficult time believing God truly loves you? If so, listen to Psalm 23 to help you understand the special relationship we have with our Heavenly Father. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." In it, we learn not only about God's nature, but also about his leadership. David describes the Lord as a shepherd, and both Old and New Testaments use the term shepherd to illustrate leadership. The word communicates the love, nurture, intimacy, and spiritual care a godly leader provides. It involves both the rod of correction and the staff of direction. Psalm 23 describes the ultimate shepherd performing several functions. The shepherd provides in verse 1. The shepherd gives rest in verse 2. The shepherd leads, renews, restores, guides, and directs in verse 3. The shepherd protects, corrects, and comforts in verse 4. The shepherd feeds and anoints in verse 5. And the shepherd loves and furnishes permanent shelter in verse 6. Psalm 23 also reminds us of what God alone can control and what we can control. It distinguishes between problems, things we can do something about, and facts, things we can do nothing about. It defines God as our provision, peace, pardon, preparation, praise, and paradise. We should follow God and obey his commands. He is our only hope for eternal life and security. And we know that a living God can bring life to a dead thing, even if it's a valley of dry bones. Will you allow God to be your shepherd? Remember, all have violated God's divine law and fall short of his glory. But the good news is that God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus, who died, was buried, and arose, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So for the unsaved, it's the right time for you to believe the good.